Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, if you'll find your bulletin that you received when you walked in and take out the sermon notes, along with there's a white paper that says Missions Report on the top of it, you'll take that out as well, along with that little green card. We're going to need that a little later in the service. I want you to be able to have them. This morning is our missions emphasis. And you can see there by the title, what I want to talk about for a really short time is the Great Commission is our mission. Do you understand that once you accept Christ into your life, you have a mission? Do you understand that the church has a mission? Amen. And that mission is clearly described for us in the Bible. Look at Mark chapter 16, verse 14. Still later, Jesus, appeared to the 11 disciples. As they were eating together, he rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief. Kind of sounds like us, doesn't it? Because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead. And he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. So what was their commission? Go into all the world and preach the good news. That's what they were told to do. Look at Luke 24, verse 44. Then he said, when I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophet and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sin for all who repent, and you are witnesses of these things. So you and I have a commission. It's stated many other places in the Bible that the church, we Christians, have a responsibility to take the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, to the whole world. That's what we're about. That's what we do. That's our commission. That is our mission. In fact, it's so important that Jesus says, my coming again is tied to your effectiveness in reaching more people for Jesus Christ. Matthew 24, verse 14. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all the nations will hear it, and then the end will come. So he says, the end's not coming until this gospel, this message, this good news is shared with all the nations, with everyone. And so you and I gather today to celebrate our commission. We are called upon to reach people over the whole world. Now, that little white sheet that is there in your bulletin gives to you a little report, very short, not a lot of information, but it has a couple of listings. Listed the missions around the world. These are missionaries, mission organizations that we support on a monthly basis all around the world. Below that, missions at home. These are missions that we support on a regular basis that are local and statewide. It's our local area at home. And then other projects that we've been involved in to help promote the gospel. Now, I have people sometimes who say to me, and I've heard it, I've had it said, I'm shocked whenever I hear it, well, Pastor, we should just take care of our stuff at home. There's enough needs here that we should just take care of everything here. Well, there's one minor problem with that. That's not biblical. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you and I are to go all over the world. And so when an effort to do that, that's what we do. We do everything we can to take the gospel around the world. Why? I want Jesus Christ to come back. I'm looking forward to his return. That's part of what he commissioned me to do. And once you accept Christ, you are accepting his commission to go into all the world. Now, before, when we've done a Mission Sunday, I've brought in missionaries and other speakers who have addressed missions around the world, but I thought this Sunday we would do something just a little bit different, and I've invited some of the missionaries that we have locally, people around in our community who are involved in missions, and I'd like for them to come if they would. Their names are listed there. We're going to introduce them to you this morning. They're kind of hesitant. They don't really, some of them don't want to be here and do this. Come right up here. Come on. It'll be okay. Not just single file. There we go. There we go. I'm going to let them introduce themselves and tell you a little bit about what they do. You get to start.
That's great.
You didn't want to be first, did you?
No. Okay, I'm going to tell you a story. This guy's name is Jake, and he...
Hold on. Who are you?
I'm Nathan Rakes.
From?
From Chi Alpha Christian Ministries.
In?
At USF. And so our Chi Alpha is a group organization that goes to secular campuses, and they witness and set up discipleship groups. Our mission, in fact, is to make disciples. It's to connect Christian students to a ministry to help them grow in their faith and to reach the international students and send out missions-minded students to the world, which is what we're talking about today. So let me tell you about Jake. Jake, he grew up knowing Scripture, but at college he fell away, and he came to Chi Alpha one night and was forever changed. And he recommitted his life to Jesus, and now he's president of Chi Alpha at USF, making disciples, making an impact on campus for USF, and that's what Chi Alpha is about.
Good morning. My name is Kathy Miller, and I'm the Executive Director of Lifeline Family Center. We have had the privilege over the past 18 years, the Lord has given us the privilege to save 134 babies from abortion in our residential program, and hundreds more in our outreach ministry. And you all have partnered with us for most of those years. Now, once you save a baby from abortion, you've just started the process, because to change the world two lives at a time, we're dealing not only with saving a life, but saving souls. And that's what the ministry does by housing these young ladies for up to 2 years after their babies are born, discipling them and teaching them about the Lord. Our theme this year is Once Upon a Time, Happily Ever After. And when you think about our girls once upon a time, they make Cinderella's wicked stepmother look like a waltz in the park. But their happily ever after comes not with Prince Charming, but with the Prince of Peace. And that's who we endeavor to introduce them to. And in our outreach ministry, we have programs that go out into the schools, teaching Relationships Under Construction, which is an abstinence-based sex education program. We have a 24-hour hotline that's manned every day of the year, including Christmas, Thanksgiving, and Easter, and post-abortion healing ministry. So if you have any questions about the different things we do, there's a brochure in the lobby. Thank you.
Thank you. It's time.
It's my turn. Good morning. My name is Lynn Harrell. I'm the principal at Bayshore Elementary. I'm your neighbor next door. Woohoo! Go Bayshore. A lot of your children actually attend my school, and although I see it as my personal mission to lead the children over there, you all support me in so many ways. Actually, one of the first people I met was Pastor Pete from over here. He came over to welcome me and say, we want to walk with you, and you all have done that in so many ways. You support me with clothing. You help us with the B cart. You let us use our facility. Most importantly, I know at the women's ministry, I've asked that you all pray for me as I try to lead that school in the way that I know God wants me to. And also for the children at my school who have so many needs there. So just for everything that you all do, you're such a blessing, and I thank you for inviting me as part of this morning.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Morning.
My name is Jerome McFarland. I represent the Fort Myers Rescue Mission. We're located beside the Flea Masters Flea Market. We currently house 64 men continually. We feed them, we clothe them daily. For non-residents, we feed probably close to 125 to 200 a day. We serve 3 meals per day. The Lord is working on our behalf. His hand is upon us. We are currently in the process of opening up a women's and children's shelter. We're just waiting on the city to grant us our permit so we can start up funding, working on the facility. And also, we're in the process of purchasing 5 more acres of land just to the north of us so we can expand the men's shelter. So we covet your prayers and your support, and may God continue to bless you all.
Thank you. I get asked a lot about what happens to all the food around here because people are concerned. I want you to know we throw very little food away. After Wednesday meal, we have leftovers, other events. We take them either to the rescue mission or to this gentleman here. And so we help support them feeding the people who need to be fed and supply for them. And this gentleman, I'm going to hold the money. I'm going to watch you.
Okay. Reverend Ivio Suarez, and I represent the Nation Association. The Nation Association is a program to deal with all ethnic groups in the area. We do 95,000 service to 10,000 people a year. And through our ministry, we can be able to open about 7 churches in the area. To God be the glory. Amen.
Hello, I'm Dale Seifert. I wrote things out because I didn't want to forget anything. Just an update to let Faith Assembly know what the Gideons worldwide in the area of Fort Myers are doing today. The Gideons are freely distributing God's word across numerous venues of more than 190 countries in over 90 languages. Last year, 84 million copies of God's word were distributed. There are new and exciting distributions of God's word occurring in the Fort Myers area. Every prison and detention center is receiving God's word, along with, in many cases, Bible studies and services. A new product is the Life Book, a small book with God's word specifically developed for youth leaders and students. This is a ministry's effort ideally suited to assist young people in the church today in owning and sharing their faith in Christ by reaching out to friends who need to know the Lord. Over 10 million copies of the Life Book have been shipped for distribution to high school students in the USA. Next February, something exciting will be happening in the Fort Myers area. Gideons from all over the state and country will be traveling here to do what the Gideons call a Bible Blitz. Every hospital, school, prison, hotel, downtown, uptown, everywhere, God's word will be placed in the hands of thousands of people. I'm sure many lives will be changed. Just last week, as an example of Gideon presence at the Lee County Fair, I know of one whole family that was saved. One testament will cost $1.25. Gifts from evangelical churches like Faith are badly needed. If there are men interested in becoming a Gideon, see me or contact a local Gideon. We are all united in one single objective, to win people for Christ by personally sharing our faith and distributing God's word. Thanks.
Thank you, Pastor Goss. My name is Jacob Shiverton. I attend this church, Faith. My wife sings in the choir. The Lord has sent us from Canada to bring God's word to the U.S. I mean, you send people all the time over there. I represent the Gulf Coast Kairos ministry. This is the 40th time that we are visiting Charlotte Correctional Institution. Kairos offers three programs. Kairos Torch offers ministry to juvenile offenders. Kairos Outside offers ministry to women whose relatives are incarcerated. And Kairos Inside, what I represent, we go into the prison. We'll be going in there for 4 days, March 20, 21, 22, and 23rd. We'll be locked up in there. Well, not really locked up, but we'll be in there for 4 days, and a lot of things happen. I just want to tell you a story about a man. He has a ministry in Sarasota. He feeds the homeless. How did he get there? He was in Charlotte, and Kairos came. God sent Kairos. He accepted the Lord. How did he get to Charlotte? He was doing 14 years. How did that happen? He was wild and loose, and his father died when he was 7 or 8 years old. He hated everyone. He wouldn't listen to any message. But as God remembered Jonah in the whale's belly, God remembered Mark. And now Mark is serving the Lord. And I thank God that God sent Kairos there. I thank you for... Oh, if you wanted to get more information on Kairos, you can go to kairos.org, or I'll be out there in the lobby to answer your questions. Thank you very much.
Hey, buddy. My name is Matt Stout. I'm the Chaplain Lee County Sheriff's Office here right down the road. We have been very blessed. We have a phenomenal team of volunteers. Actually, Marcia Shaver is right up front. She's one of our volunteers. Ted Gaines is actually one of our volunteers. We have about 160 volunteers that come into the jail that minister to about 1,700 inmates. We give away about 3,000 Bibles a year. And actually, this last month, I just finished our numbers, and it looks like we're going to be over 4,000 Bibles this year. And one of the biggest contributors to our ministry is actually Faith Assembly. You guys give us hundreds and hundreds of Bibles a year, and it's a huge blessing. But we minister up to 100 classes, 100 ministry classes every single week at the jail, from our core facility, downtown jail. It's a huge ministry. It's a great ministry, and we want to thank you for partnering with us to reach that loss. Thank you.
Give them all a hand. Get back to me. You go ahead and be seated. We have several guys, too, Ted Gaines and Joe Johnsick. They go into the prisons. They're in three different prisons three times a week, every week. If you'd like to be a part, there's opportunities. So you and I come to that place where we recognize that we have been called by God to give a representation of the gospel. It's not an option. It's not something we might do. We're called to do that. And that is part of our missions program. When you contribute to missions, you are contributing to everybody on that white page, these people included. And so I want to commend you for your giving and for what you've done. And we're going to, in a moment, take an offering for these people. We're going to talk about what God is going to do for us in the future and how we can reach more people for Jesus Christ. Because that's what Christians do, and that's what the church does. Now, back to your notes. There's a story that you're familiar with, I hope, that I want to use as kind of a jumping off point this morning to maybe kind of look at a few things in a little bit differently. In Mark chapter 6, verse 32, so they, the disciples and Jesus, left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of them. And Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Late in the afternoon, when his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat." But Jesus said to them, "You feed them." "With what?" they asked. "We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people." "How much bread do you have?" he asked. Go and find out." And they came back and reported, "We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. A couple observations. Number one, we are commanded to prove our discipleship. You know, the great thing about this story is that Jesus didn't have to go around trying to get people to listen to him. Is that they people followed Jesus. Why? He had something that they needed. He was different than the rest. He attracted a crowd. Do you understand that you and I are to be attractive to people? You see, the world's not going to be won by how similar we are to them. The world's going to be won because we're different from them. We are not the same. And the Bible tells us very clearly what will attract people. John chapter 13, verse 34. "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples." You talk to any of these people over here who are involved in ministry, and they will tell you one thing that people are looking for as much as anything else is they just want to be loved. They just want somebody to care for them, to care about them, and to love them as they are. And the Bible tells us that if you and I will love one another and let the love of God be the drawing card to the life of Christ, people will come to us. We don't always have to go to them. If people can find a safe place to be, if they can find a place where they know they're going to be accepted, if they can find a place where they know they're going to be loved as they are, then they will be attracted to that and there will be an opportunity to change their life. And so we're commanded in the midst of all that's going on, let us be the people who demonstrate the love of God to people around about us. And Jesus was there. He tried to get away. He couldn't. They followed him. Why? He was different than everybody else, right? You and I are called to be different as well, aren't we? We're different because we operate out of the love of Jesus Christ. And that love makes a difference in the world. Secondly, we are commanded to perceive others with compassion. If you will notice, when Jesus got out of the boat, how would you feel? You're trying to get away for a little break. You're trying to get off by yourself, and suddenly you're interrupted, and you have to do something that you hadn't planned on doing and were trying to get away from. I don't think you and I would be real happy about that. Do you? We'd probably go, oh, again, another interruption. But what's Jesus' response? He looks on them with compassion. He sees them as sheep without a shepherd. He cares for them. He cares about them. You and I, as Christians, are commanded to care about other people, to have compassion on them, to look at them, and to see them as God sees them. God loves everyone. God cares about everybody. You and I have to do the same, don't we? He cared about their spiritual condition. They were sheep without a shepherd, it says to us. He looked at them with compassion because they didn't have what they needed in their life. When you walk through the mall, when you go to work tomorrow, will you look at people with compassion? Not compassion because, oh man, they're going through a really hard time and, you know, I really wish they didn't have to go through that. Not compassion because, oh, they need this and they need this and they're dealing with this, but compassion because they need Jesus Christ. And they are like sheep without a shepherd. And I care about them. I care that at this point in time, they don't know Christ, because that is our commission, isn't it? And so if you and I are going to help people, the first step is you and I have to love one another the way God loves us. We're to show and demonstrate the love of God to everyone around about us, and that love will be our drawing card that will draw people to us, and then we look at them with compassionate hearts. We look at what they're hurting about. We look at what they're going through. We look at the needs of their life, and the great need of their life is Jesus. Thirdly, we're commanded to present Christ. Commanded to present Christ. It says he taught, what's the first thing he does? He looks at them with compassion. He sees their sheep without a shepherd. He teaches them the gospel. He taught them. He presented the gospel to them. That's what you and I are called to do. Now, please don't misunderstand me with what I'm about to say. You and I as the church, our mission is to introduce people to Jesus Christ. Our mission is not to feed people, to build houses for people, to give people stuff. If we give them everything they have and everything they think they want, then you and I are not fulfilling our commission, are we? Now, we're to give them Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to give them the other things, but if we just give them the other things, they've lost. You see, the world can give them the other things. You'll see it all the time. It'll be in the newspapers. It'll be in the media. Oh, look at this, and look what they're doing here. Look at how great they're doing this. Well, that's great. But see, you and I can do those same things, but we do it with a different motive and a different heart, don't we? Because we see them as sheep without shepherd. We have a compassion for them that they're lost. What can we do to present Christ to them? Look at Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Then, calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? If anyone's ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." You see, we can offer them all kinds of things that this world can offer them, but the one thing the church will offer them that the world will not offer them is Jesus Christ. And one of the reasons we support these ministries is that they are meeting the needs of people, but along with meeting those needs of people, they're also giving them Jesus Christ. And that's what we're about. What can we do to help people know Jesus? Because if we give them everything else, and they have everything else, but don't know Christ, they've lost. They've lost. And so that's our commission. That's what we're about. And as it says, we're not ashamed of that. We're about that. You know, I've had people approach me at times and say, "Well, we'd like for you to be involved in this and be involved in this." And I'm going, fine, we're more than willing to do that. Do you understand that if we do that, we're going to have an opportunity to share Christ with these people? "Oh, no, if you're going to do it, you can't share Christ." Well, if you're not going to let me share Christ, then I'm out. Because what we do is share Jesus Christ. Everything we do is about this mission that we have. And that's why we do these things. Because our heart looks at people with love, with compassion, with concern. We want them to know the message of the gospel. And Jesus says, as he gets out of the boat, he begins to talk to them and to teach them because he had compassion on them. Lastly, we're commanded to pray for workers. Commanded to pray for workers. Jesus does a very interesting thing. He says to his disciples, "It's getting late. You give them something to eat." Now, I'm telling you, you and I present the gospel and you're going, "Hold it, I don't have the ability to do that. I don't know how to do that. I'm afraid to do that." And here's what Jesus says. All you have to do is just give them what you have. That's what he says to them. He says, "What have you got?" They begin making excuses. They begin saying, "We don't have enough. We can't do this and we can't do this. We don't know how to do this. And what are you talking about? Give them something to eat. We can't." And Jesus says, "Look, take what you have and I'll use that to meet their needs." Matthew 9:36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is great." In other words, there's a lot of people who don't know Jesus Christ. "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field." You see, the problem is never the harvest. The issue is always getting enough workers. There's a big harvest. There's a lot of people who need Christ. The issue is, will you and I respond and go and be used of God? "Oh, Pastor, that means I got to go to schools. That means I got to..." No. Please hear me. As you are, where you are, will you just demonstrate the love and compassion of God and be willing to enter into a conversation about Jesus Christ when the opportunity presents itself? Because it will. And will you recognize that what's your coworker's greatest need? Jesus. Now here's the problem. There's a lot of people today in America who believe they're Christians. But we question that. Because if all the people who said they're Christians were Christians, America would look completely different than it does today. It just wouldn't look like it does. And so you and I say, "God, we will take the commission that you've given to us. We will make it our mission. And our mission will be, what can we do to reach more people for Jesus Christ all over the world?" We look and we see the need. We look and we understand we have to have something that's different from everybody else. And what's different is the love of God that's in us. And we'll love like God loves. And when we look around us, we won't turn a blind eye. We won't ignore the problem. We won't pretend that it doesn't exist or it's not a big deal because we don't think we can do anything. We will look at it with compassion, with a burden that says, you know what? These people need Jesus Christ. And I will do everything I can to provide a way to reach them and to do what we can do. Yes, we'll meet their needs, but we understand their greatest need is Jesus. Well, how are we going to do all that? Well, together we can do more than we can do apart. Together we can do more. In just a few more months, the Assemblies of God is gathering in Arkansas to celebrate its 100-year anniversary. It's 100 years old. It was formed in Arkansas 100 years ago, and it was formed for principally one reason. The ministers got together and said, you know what? We could do more together than we can apart, and we've got to reach the world, so let's join our resources and join together to do everything we can to reach more people for Jesus Christ. And one of the greatest mission organizations in the world today is us. And so you and I are called to do this. And when you look at this list, it is a men and women who are doing what we can't do, but we can support them. We can help them. We can send them because people need Jesus. And our responsibility is to do everything we can to see that that happens. So you have there a little green card that's there. It's going to ask you, and I'm going to ask you to take it and to fill out that card. We ask for a name, not because we're ever going to contact you, but we ask for a name because some people call us and say, I don't remember what I did. Can you give me that number? Can you help me? And so we're just going to ask it. It will help us set a budget so that we can take on more missionaries, I hope, because I have missionaries all the time calling me. We need support. Can you help us? Sometimes I can, sometimes I can't. But you and I can provide the resources to do that, can't we? So if you'll take that card, fill it out, and we're going to take an offering in just a moment. Now, the offering that we're going to take today is going to go to these folks over here. Okay? We're going to take it and give it to them. And so we want to bless them and give them a way of saying thanks to them for what they've done. Now, you and I might be here today and be celebrating this, and there might be someone here today that says, you know what? What does this matter? Maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ. Well, you know what? He loves you. He cares about you. We do everything we can. We have my job description is very simple. What can I do to reach more people for Jesus Christ? And how can I disciple them so that they can grow up into mature Christians? That's what we're about, and that's everything we do. So if you'll take that card, fill it out, along with your offering this morning that we're going to receive in just a moment, we're going to collect that today and use that to further the gospel in the months ahead. We want to do everything we can to reach more people. Why? Because when you pass people on the streets, when you go by them at work, when I sit around a table with them at different meetings in the community, there's a compassion that's there. That says, you know what? They need Jesus. What can I do to help that happen? And so we're going to invite you to partner with us today. Well, I want to take mine and use it over here, and I want to take mine and use it here. Please hear me. Together we can do so much more than we can do individually. And we can give to these organizations with confidence of knowing that what we give to them is going to be used to touch more people's lives for Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to do.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.